Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You might be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I am so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Now you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources we talk about, and any of the free downloads that I mention. There are a lot of exciting things happening here this summer. New webinars, a new book, and a chance to join me and become a member of my Easy EdTech Club. Make sure to get on my newsletter list to get free resources in your inbox each week and so you don't miss a thing. Just go to classtechtips.com/newsletter for all of the details. This episode is sponsored by Microsoft Education, and I'm so excited to partner with them this summer. Have you seen the new Reading Progress tool in Microsoft Teams? It's totally free and will transform the way you think about reading fluency. I was completely blown away when I saw Reading Progress in action, and I know you will be too. Just go to aka.ms/readingprogresspp to find out more about the free Reading Progress tool in Microsoft Teams. You can also send me a DM on Instagram, and I'll make sure to get you the link. Welcome. I am so excited to have you today on the podcast to talk about all things STEM and how to support girls in STEM. As I shared in the intro, we first connected on Clubhouse, and I'm just really excited to have your perspective here on the podcast today. So I thought we could just start off, jump right in, and have you share a bit about your role in education and what your day-to-day looks like.
Oh, okay. So I am Dr. Mina Blasey, and sometimes I say Dr. Mina Jo Blasey because I'm an identical twin to Carrie Jo. So typically, that's why I use my middle name. I think only my elementary friends use that middle name now. So I am currently a director of research planning and data, and that job or position came about because of my background in statistics. And it landed itself, it kind of was an accident. So I really look at assessment data. I help write a district plan in Southern California. And I also look at learning and how students learn. Now, from that perspective, from the beginning, I have to say I had no desire to go into education to be a teacher. I didn't understand why people wanted to do it. But I did go to school to be a pilot. I flew Cessnas for a very short time. Then I started a family, and my husband said, you know, you're good at helping others learn. So I decided to go into education to teach from a middle school perspective because it was my favorite time. I loved high school too. And I did that with a perspective of deciding to teach science for two reasons. One, you could get a position quickly because of science education. And two, I had a love for problem solving and looking at chemistry and biology from a whole different perspective. So, and then with that, I took that knowledge and became assistant principal and principal. I had the privilege of opening a STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics elementary school in Southern California, public school. And I was able to develop relationships with the community and the teachers and the staff. And really, we really looked at how we could integrate STEM into every day. Not just, let's do this in silos, how can we do this? And we also looked at our students' BIPOC community, but specifically how we could help girls close the gap and be and have a self-efficacy and a career interest in STEM so that by the time they left elementary, they would love it so much that they would want to go into any type of career in STEM. But also knowing that when they got to high school and when they got into college, that they would have a belief no matter what was said that they could do it regardless of having a male-dominated career. So that's kind of where I am with that. I love what I do, and I love taking that knowledge, and now I get to help another school in the district that I'm in really look at STEM and influence STEM at an elementary perspective.
Wow, I love that elementary connection and all the things that you said about setting up students, setting up girls for success and seeing themselves within that kind of STEM category and what might be possible for them in the future. So I know that STEM might not be a new term for listeners, but I'd love to start our conversation about how to support girls in STEM by kind of unpacking that term and what does STEM mean? What does it look like in action in the spaces that you work?
Okay, that is actually a fabulous question. So without getting too academic, I want to say that typically when children enter school, they come, boy, girl, they come with this imagination. They have a sense of inquiry before they come to school. Because if you ever watch a child, they play, they touch the dirt. I mean, one of my daughters, who's now 20, remember picking up a beetle and just being fascinated with this beetle. And what do we do as parents? Oh, no, don't touch that. I was a different parent. I knew the beetle wasn't harmful. I let her play with it until she wanted to eat it, yeah. which is a whole other funny topic. But my children, I have two boys, two girls, they loved looking at the world. And I think as parents, we need to let children explore. And then when they enter school, we need to let that imagination keep going. I mean, imagination to me is so much more important than the knowledge, because knowledge will come. But if we let children imagine what they want to do and play, then they take that and it goes into their long-term memory because there's an emotion behind it. And typically also what happens in elementary is we have a parent dynamic. And it could be male or female. And sometimes parents bring their own biases. It could be cultural. It could be women do this, men do that. So we have to change the conversation around children can do whatever they want to do if we allow them to experience it. So we have dialogues with parents and we have dialogues with teachers so that they're not putting their, what we call mental models, their own images of what's happening onto the children. And I say that from the perspective of girls that come in, they want to explore. But we know girls linguistically, that is something that comes naturally for them. They are typically they're avid readers. They want to read and they will gravitate towards fantasy books, where boys typically will gravitate towards like an information book. It could be about frogs. It could be about anything info. What we have to do is cross that over and allow that to happen with both boys and girls. And we have to allow it regardless of how we feel about it. I once had a father say, I don't want you to send the girl book home with my son. And we have to say, okay, let me challenge you and say, why is this a girl book? And why can't it be just something that he can experience so that he can relate to his female friend? Mm-hmm. And that's the dynamic that we're trying to do. And I would almost even push it to the point where when children say, I want to do this, if they say, I want to go to Mars because that's a big thing right now, and live, you say yes, they may or may not do it. But you encourage them to dream because it's their dream. And as parents, we sometimes want them to do what we want them to do. And also, I will even add that as educators, we want to put kids in groups that we want to put them in. However, if a group of girls tend to go together in a problem-based or an activity problem, project-based conversation, we'll let them. Because girls, again, like I said, they're linguistic. They want to talk. And if a boy comes in, let them too. However, we have to allow it because girls learn by having a conversation around it. And there's research around that girls, by the time they're in second grade, they are fine with either English language arts or whatever by literacy that they understand. We have to embrace that.
Yeah. And you know, your emphasis there on the imagination, on providing experiences, making sure that everyone in a school community is thinking about what they bring into a conversation, on what it looks like for any child to be successful or to be passionate about a certain topic. You know, it makes me think about those exercises that, you know, so many of us have participated in, where what do you think of when you think of a scientist? Close your eyes and imagine a doctor. Who do you see, right? And all the things that we bring in without even thinking about what a certain type of person in a STEM field especially embodies or looks like. And so in your experience, what are some of the ways you see girls thriving in STEM programs? You mentioned the conversations, the problem solving. Are there things that you see around this idea of girls really thriving in STEM programs?
So I'm glad that you said that. So typically in a classroom, and this happens a lot more than I'd like it to happen, teachers are the bearers of all knowledge. We have to take a step back and be a facilitator and allow the learning to happen and then redirect when there may be some misinformation. When that happens in the classroom and you let kids explore and write and talk and create and invent, the learning goes into their long-term memory. And I kind of want to take a step back and kind of define STEM. In the sense that, and the reason why I want to do that, excuse me, is because I think that the more we hear STEM, we get pushed back on, why not STEAM? Why not STREAM? The reason why I stick to STEM is because STEM is an area where girls tend to not go into those fields. By the time they get into middle school, they tend to not have a self-efficacy, a belief that they will be good at it. And so my idea of talking about just STEM is to get students and girls especially into those fields and into the conversations, into mathematics and engineering. The arts, girls go into the arts. I love music. I love everything music. I'm not active right now, but I've played the violin since I was eight. That came naturally. Yes, we need to infuse that, but girls tend to gravitate towards the arts because it's comfortable for them. It's something that there's not a sense of misunderstanding. The STEM is not comfortable. And we have to change our role models in the classroom. So when we talk about science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, we are talking about allowing children access to people that look like them. And when we are in the classroom, if you look at curricula, typically you don't see a female. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but as educators, we have to put it in front of children so that they can see that there is a female physician, that there is a female engineer, that there is a female astronomer that works for NASA or a physicist. And we have to have the conversations around, yes, you can do it. Yes, it might be difficult, but there's, you know, if it's not difficult, then we're not learning. And to get uncomfortable about how we're educating our children is okay, so that we can just to change the dialogue around it.
That is such an interesting perspective on the STEM versus STEAM that I don't think I've thought about before, right? And I've worked in a STREAM school actually that I was supporting for a few years. And so, you know, I think that is a really interesting thing to bring into conversations to say, you know, what is our real focus here? What is our real purpose and our priority? And if that, you know, I don't want to say is getting in the way, but if it is not the area that we're primarily focused on, I think that argument for STEM versus STEAM is really interesting and something that if I haven't heard it before, it's because I wasn't listening, right? But I don't know that I've heard anyone else say it quite like that. And so I really appreciate that framing of it. And, you know, if there's a classroom teacher or a coach or admin who's listening in right now and reflecting on some of the things that you've mentioned, how they currently work to support girls in STEM, what is something you'd really want them to consider or look out for?
So the reason why I'm an advocate for STEM is because of the critical thinking behind it. I think there's an idea that it's just separate, and it's not. Kids that understand science, all the areas of science, technology, whether it's artificial intelligence or specifically computer programming, whether it's understanding any type of mathematics, applied mathematics, and then the different disciplines of engineering, it's broad when we say STEM. But when we give children access to the problem solving around it, they can take those skills into any industry. And I know that sometimes people think, oh, they want to go into STEM fields. No, not necessarily. But because of my background, I can problem solve through things with discomfort and comfort and come up with a solution. And typically, I had a friend that worked for Boeing. And one of the things that he said is that we have people who get these degrees and they're not learning how to problem solve. It's almost like they want to press the reboot. STEM field allows for that. And we should increase our knowledge in STEM, because if you want to go into politics, if you want to go into agriculture, if you are a community leader, you need to have this background to argue, you shouldn't be cutting down this forest, because when this happens, then this happens to the animals in the area. But when this happens, we now are opening up ozone issues in the area. Or when this happens, we are going to have an oil spill. So if you don't have a background in it, you don't need to go into the field, but knowledge in other areas gives us a history of a community, which is, I believe that we take STEM and we actually use that as historical knowledge so that we can build a safer community. And typically, as leaders and principals, it is okay to just say STEM. I am an advocate for all things STEAM and STREAM, and I think by the time we're finished, it'll be some long statement. The reason why we say STEM is to increase our background knowledge with specifically girls in this area, because girls will go into the arts. We add STREAM, which I'm going to argue that we're talking possibly about reading. That's not an issue for girls. The issue is giving them the critical thinking skills so that they can fight for themselves and have a content-specific area. And then if they choose to go into these fields, let them.
Yeah, that experience with just the content knowledge and having a foundation to build off of, no matter what direction they might go in, is so important. And the transferable skills, the problem-solving pieces that you mentioned, giving everyone an opportunity to work through different challenges that might scale or they might be able to apply in other settings is definitely, you know, a compelling argument for rethinking some of the commitments that might be taking place in different places when it comes to STEM. And, you know, if there's just one thing listeners could do right now, maybe not this morning, but sometime quickly, right in the short term, that would help them, you know, really to make a commitment to supporting girls in STEM, something that they could do to help move the needle or make an impact. What's that kind of one thing you would encourage them to do?
I'm glad you said that. One, check your own mental model. Think about where you are in your own mind around STEM. Are you a principal that thinks, that still believes that girls have certain careers and boys have certain careers? The other thing too is to really think about what is going on in the mind of children when they think about STEM. Is there an implicit bias happening at your school site? Specifically, when I say implicit bias, what is your personal belief system, and what do you think the child's personal belief system is? When girls grow up with the mental model or the ability to believe that they can do it, that's the goal of STEM when they're in elementary, is to give them the belief that they are going to be successful in STEM. Then when they go to middle school, they'll take those courses. When they go to high school, they'll take those courses. That's a really big deal for me, because since 2009, of all the positions in the United States, 50-50 all jobs, but girls still only hold 24% of the STEM jobs, and they pay more money. And then when we get into engineering, the number goes way down. And then when we get into leadership in STEM or doctorates of education, that number goes even farther down, because girls don't have the ability to hold on to that self-efficacy because of the explicit bias of the men in the room. Because men will say, why are you here? What makes you think you should be here? So we have to give them the confidence to move forward. And that is the role of a leader at a school site, to give girls the confidence. And I know somebody is listening to this thinking, well, what about our boys? Boys are going to be fine. They already have the confidence in them. let's bring our girls with them, teach our boys to help girls move forward in STEM education.
I love that. Just checking your own mental model, kind of where you're at in terms of what you believe is possible, and then looking out and getting a sense of where your student body is or your student population is, your girls specifically, around what they see as being possible for them. And I think it's just such a good reminder, especially at this time of year, kind of entering into summer, thinking forward for the fall, to really revisit some of those commitments that might have gotten lost or reprioritized over this past, you know, year and a half or so. And I really appreciate your insights into all of these pieces and action items that listeners can take into their practice right away. And I want to make sure everyone knows how to connect with you. I know I mentioned Clubhouse at the top of this episode, but would love for you to share more places. Where can listeners connect with you? Is there anything you're working on in the short term that you want to give a shout out to?
Okay, great question. So I'm on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and Snapchat. It's Mina J. Blazy typical. On Clubhouse, it's the only place that has Mina J. Blazy. So okay. MinaJBlazy. So it's pretty much the same. And if you really are interested in looking at how you can help, you can read the conclusion of my dissertation. It is fully quantitative. So if you want to look at the data, you go right ahead. But the conclusion, so you can look up CSUSB, Cal State University, San Bernardino in California, and look up, just type in my name. It should pop up. But it is the effect of Project Lead the Way and the perceptions and career interests of girls in STEM. So that conclusion really gives some insight around that. And you can also look me up on LinkedIn under me, Mina J. Blazy, and you can also find me on WordPress because I do a blog every now and then. Right now, I am working on a few articles with regards to STEM from a female's perspective, and I'm also writing my book around the girls in elementary STEM.
Wonderful. I love that topic, of course, and appreciate you sharing that. I'll make sure to link out to all of your social spaces. I follow you on Instagram and love your Instagram reel. So I'm going to have to find you on TikTok after this too, because I just love all the different ways to stay connected, to get quick tips and ideas. And so I just really appreciate your time today.
It was so wonderful chatting with Dr. Mina J. Blazy today. And if you want to follow along with her work, make sure to click the links wherever you are listening to this episode. And if you heard us talking about Clubhouse and you want to check out the app, just send me a DM or direct message on Instagram or Twitter, and I'll get you a link so that you can join us on Clubhouse for our very next room. Let's finish up this episode like we always do by making this EdTech easy. First, check your own mental model when it comes to STEM and the role of girls in STEM. Next, help girls build STEM confidence. Then, reflect on the role models students see throughout the year. And finally, embrace imagination as you work through this upcoming school year. Remember, you can find all of the links from today's episode in the show notes right at classtechtips.com/podcast. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Podcasts, you should see the link right below that takes you straight to this episode, episode 119 of the Easy EdTech Podcast, and all of the links from today. A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Microsoft Education. I'm so excited to partner with them to bring you new episodes of the podcast this summer. Don't forget to check out their new Reading Progress tool in Microsoft Teams. This powerful fluency app can help students practice reading skills and give you actionable formative assessment data too. Learn more at aka.ms/readingprogresspp.
And tell me you want the newsletter link, and I'll make sure to send it right back to you. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically, so you don't miss a thing. Check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.